You're listening to the Shared Security Show, exploring the trust you put in people and technology with your hosts, Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to this special edition of the Shared Security Show, and joining me today is Carlos Salas from NordLayer, who will be speaking to us about SASE. And is it just the latest cybersecurity buzzword, or is it actually a long-term solution to secure our businesses? Well, welcome to the show, Carlos.
Thank you for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you as well. So let's kind of level set with everybody, and let's talk about what this thing called SASE is. It's kind of a unique way of saying S-A-S-E, but that does stand for something. So I'll start out by asking, what is SASE?
Well, if we go by the definition, SASE means secure access service edge. I mean, that doesn't say anything.
If we just put it
like that, it doesn't say anything.
Right.
So if we want to understand a little bit what SASE is, we can go a little bit back in time, 22 years to be exact, in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember, but there was this huge thing J2K, the Millennium Bug.
Yep,
back in the
I
day.
Do. Mm-hmm.
So after that, everything started being like cybersecurity and IT in general started to be like in a huge pedestal now.
Yep.
Everything was cyber now. So everything was cybersecurity, cyber access, cyber PAN, cyber whatever. Everything was cyber. So this started diluting what the cyber was actually in the past. And when someone will come over and say, hey, we need cybersecurity for our company, they were like, nah, that's just a buzzword. It's the same thing that is happening with this type of frameworks, new frameworks like SASE, SSE, and so on, in which a lot of different companies, marketing companies especially, come with their own terms, come with their own frameworks that only explain something else with different words. So you come with someone and say, hey, let's put SASE in our infrastructure. And they're like, nah, that's just a buzzword.
Yeah.
But in reality, SASE, it's what cybersecurity was before cloud.
Okay.
So now that cloud is so prevalent in our normal infrastructure, SASE comes and starts putting the dots on the I's and say, hey, okay, what do we need in order to be safe, to be secure? And then they bring a huge checklist where we can start checking everything. Okay, do I have a firewall? Yes or no. Do we have deep packet inspection? Yes and no. Do we need them? Well, it depends on your use case, but it creates this framework so companies could start deciding on their own. This gives more empowerment to the end users at this point.
And the other way I looked at it too was that because of the pandemic, right, where we had more companies moving their workforce to remote work or hybrid workforce and that kind of thing, I think that's where this technology really started taking off, because I think we found that, you know, a VPN or the way that a traditional VPN was configured in an environment just wasn't enough anymore, right?
Yeah, exactly. Especially because a lot of companies had a very, very specific cybersecurity framework put on them based on the 80s and 90s cybersecurity solutions, in which your infrastructure has to be a bunker. No one gets in, no one gets out, everything is inside. And then suddenly a pandemic came over and everyone to their homes and okay, now what?
Yeah.
What can I do to secure my network now? I have two options, either stop working, stop producing everything, yeah, or open my whole network and everyone will be able to get in and just cross fingers and hope that no malicious actors will get that. So yeah, for the companies that are started getting into this type of solutions beforehand, it's better because they were very preemptive. So they were ready to get into this type of solutions. But for the companies that were late to the party, then it was very hard. It was a nightmare for them.
Yeah, exactly. So there's also another term that I've heard called SSE, which stands for Security Service Edge. Can you talk a little bit about the differences between SASE and SSE?
Yes. Actually, we can get it by the first two letters of it, secure access and just secure service. Secure service edge, it's the SSE equivalent. So SASE, SASE, it's more about accessing this type of solutions for securely, of course. So we have a software-defined wide area network. We have, for example, other type of site-to-site solutions, firewall as a service solutions, and so on, that create access to different type of resources that you might have inside of your network. But SSE, on the other hand, is mainly focused on security. So, for example, here it will include the classical antivirus solutions, your firewalls that you have in your or on premises, legacy solutions that you might still have in your architecture, let's say, and everything in between, IAM and policies and so on. So, SASE on one hand it's about access. And SSE, on the other hand, it's about security.
So what kind of challenges or problems do companies have that would require a solution like SASE?
Well, as you very well mentioned before, the pandemic was one of the big things. We don't know if, I don't know, I mean, crossing fingers it won't happen, but we will get a COVID 2023 or something, and we will need to be prepared for that.
Right.
And the other like global situation that we are having with NATO and so on, I mean, we will also, at some point, we'll need to have some security and be able to access our infrastructure, our data from anywhere in the world in a secure way. So one of the biggest challenges I see with this is that a lot of companies, especially older companies, I mean, there are certain banks in the UK and the United States that are like 300 years old.
Wow.
And they started with this cybersecurity game, with this IT game way, way before everyone else from the 60s and 70s. So they still have mainframes at some point even. So how to put all these mainframes, all this physical equipment that you already invested millions of dollars in it into the new reality, this is cloud. Well, you need something in between. You need something in the middle, and this is SASE. It's a layer of security.
So what are some crucial features of SASE? There's a lot of different terms, right, that are part of this technology. Zero trust, cloud access, security broker. What are some of the key things that I think our listeners need to know about?
I will start by mentioning ZTNA, Zero Trust Network Access. This is practically, if you want to put it into layman terms, it's trust no one. Yeah, if I come over and say, hey, hello, my name is Carlos Salas, can you let me in? Mm-mm. Nope. Maybe you are not. This is my username and password. There you go. No, maybe you stole that.
Right.
Okay, fine. This is my two-factor authentication. There you go. Maybe you stole his phones also. Okay, fine. Here's my fingerprint. Okay, fine. You can go there. But wait, you're a software developer. So you are going to only be able to access this server and this database, and that's it. Hey, but I want to go to HR. No, only HR has access to that. End of story. So this is mostly what ZDNA is. On top of that, we have, for example, IDP, which practically it's intrusion detection policies, in which you have certain policies. For example, if I'm based in Lithuania or in Mexico or in the United States, and suddenly my user is accessing from Poland or Afghanistan or whatever, Russia. Okay, this guy is not supposed to be there, so I'm not going to let him in. Another, for example, with IDS, intrusion detection systems, if the normally this person is accessing these certain resources at these certain times, and suddenly it's 3 a.m. where he is located and he's accessing. Well, why is this happening? Okay, first of all, you block everything. And later on, you investigate and decide if it's true or not that someone got into the network. For example, there's another topic, which is firewall as a service. I mean, the classical firewall that most people know, but as a service. So you don't have to have a specific, very expensive hardware that is running a firewall on it and a group of network engineers that are actually managing this. In this case, you actually only need to go into a control panel, start saying, okay, from this to this, from this to this, and you start creating your own rules, click accept, and you have your firewall already set up. So not only it's very good, for example, for administrators to be able to administrate this so easily and then taking their time into more urgent matters like penetration testing or like checking some of the vulnerabilities that they have already in their networks. But also it lowers the gate. So you stop gatekeeping these type of solutions to companies that don't have certified specialists in certain fields. So it's also very good for this type of companies to either get your existing engineers to work on more pressuring matters rather than being micromanaging this type of rules. And also for medium to small companies that want to have this type of solutions but don't have the money in order to procure this type of hardware or this type of experts.
Yeah, the cost savings alone for businesses is huge with a model like this.
Yeah.
So what has been or maybe will be the intersection between remote hybrid work and the company's cybersecurity needs when thinking of a solution like SASE?
Well, I will say that the new normal now is that companies are going to be not that they want, but they are going to be forced to let people work from whatever they want. Because once the people start working from home during the pandemic and they realize the benefits of it or working from anywhere, when the pandemic was going on, well, this is not just like a nice to have. This is something that a lot of people are asking the first thing when they are started in a job interview. So this is the new normal, and we need to be prepared for that. For example, on our site, on NerdLayer, we did some research on this. You can go to nerdlayer.com and look for Global Working Index. There is like the top 50 countries to where it's good to work from. So it's actually a very good point for also businesses to be like, okay, you know what? Based on this information, I know that it's secure for my employees to be working from the United States, Canada, or Spain. And you can create policies based on that, for example.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah, I think the pandemic and just the way that the world has changed, the way that we work these days, it's truly become remote first in a lot of ways.
Yep.
We're still seeing a lot of companies, they just haven't, you know, even made the decision to bring people back into an office or, you know, hybrid work now, like we had mentioned. That is kind of the new way of doing things. So it's interesting to see, you know, how this will all play out in the next couple of years. But I think as many experts have said that this working remote, working from home, this kind of new hybrid model is really here to stay now.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
So how can our listeners learn more about SASE and NerdLayer and the products that NerdLayer offers?
Well, first of all, you can find us on LinkedIn. The official NerdLayer website there in LinkedIn we are always posting very interesting facts about cybersecurity issues, attacks, risks, and so on. And well, of course, in NerdLayer.com you can also find a lot of different information. We have a blog there also. This is worth reading. Podcasts are also a very good, big thing for us. So we have been participating in a lot of podcasts, and we really like to reach out this way because one of the biggest things, and this is my personal opinion, that we can do for public in general, not only business but also people, is to educate. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes when you go to a company and say like, "Hey, this is might be not very good to have like some security hole." And they don't know it. And if you start saying, "Hey, you know what? ZTNA is a thing." Wow, okay, I want that. That's cool. I didn't even knew that existed. Yeah. So it's a very good thing. And also, well, for your listeners, you can go to nerdlayer.com/sharedsecurity and you can find also some extra information based on what we are talking right now and a special offer for the people that want to join there.
Yes, thank you for mentioning that. We do have that special offer for our listeners. So check out nordlayer.com/sharedsecurity. We'll also have that linked in our show notes as well. Well, Carlos, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show to talk about SASE and the cool products that NordLayer has. So I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, well, it was my pleasure to be here.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app, or leave us a rating and review. To catch all the latest from the show, visit our website, sharedsecurity.net, for all show notes and previous episodes. Follow us on Twitter at SharedSec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week for another episode of the Shared Security Show.